Welcome back to the second hour of Wednesday's 9 till noon show. Right, let's have a look at some of your comments coming in so far this morning. I think that American people have spoken, whether you agree with it or not, democracy has spoken. It's a great day for America. Donald Trump should be welcomed as the new president. The Democratic Party tried to ruin him and his character. A lot of Americans are not happy that the Israelis have slaughtered 40,000 people. They are backed by the American administration, not the American people. They see that Trump will put his foot down and put a stop to all of this. That's not what he's promising, but I take your point. And I agree, democracy is democracy and you have to stick by it. And I remember the last time Donald Trump was president and he was coming to Ireland, and a lot of the democratically elected people here were opposing it and saying that we shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be doing that. I mean, if you respect democracy, you respect democracy, right? That's the view of the people. If you like the individual or not, that's really by the by. Or should it be by the by? Gee, I wonder why Kamala Abortion Harris lost. Another, the media demonised Trump. The people saw through the media and voted for their country and their people. The people's benefit, simple. Will all the pro-Trump listeners be happy if Trump pulls some of the US tech companies out of Ireland due to tax rates in the US being more favourable, adding thousands to our Irish dole queues again? I'm not sure if that's the consequences of his... will that be one of the consequences of his tenure? In my opinion, Trump will end the Ukraine war. As for the Middle East, Israel has its neighbours wiped out with weapons and bombs supplied by the US. The arms business is possibly the most lucrative in the world. Hope he ends the genocide in Gaza, asks a listener. It's great that Donald Trump is president again. Now we might follow the American footsteps and have someone like Trump in Parliament. Well, I love all the texts, but my word, I was begging for these texts just to sort of get a sense of different views over the course of the last couple of weeks, and they weren't there, but here they are now. Morning, Greg. Great to see you finally waking up to the fact that American politics is all a big soap opera. Now do Ireland. Respect the people's vote, Greg. The American people have spoken in volume. Media is the cause of all lies. I'm not being defensive at all, but I really, we have not been pro-Kamala, pro-Trump. In fact, when we were speaking to a lot of people in this country that seemed to be Democrats, it was hard and we were trying to get Republicans to come on and speak. So I said to Marilyn McDonald last week, it's actually easier. It's easier to play it down the middle, to play it down the middle than it is to be biased to one way or other. And as well as that, after the fact, the American networks are going to find out the reality of that too. The very real tragedy is only God can now help the people of Gaza and the West Bank. Netanyahu is unleashed to do what he wishes to a defenseless and isolated people. The genocide will only increase with Netanyahu knowing he has full political backing from the world's greatest power to, in inverted commas, finish the job. MAGA, cheer up, Greg. A great day has arrived. Again, for some reason, people seem to think this is emotionally affecting me, but listen, that's fine. My fear is that the US companies here in Ireland will be brought back to the States and unemployment will be rife here with Trump in power now. Well, he was in power for 4 years. I'm not sure, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the companies that are based in Ireland are based here, not just for tax. There is an element of that, right? But our tax is somewhat aligned now. It's not the same way as it was that led to the Apple case. Our tax is aligned to a lot of tax around the world, VAT, if you know what I mean. Secondly, we've got a fantastic resource here in the Irish workforce. Secondly, it's cool here, which is very good for data centres, and the government's very open to data centres. I'm conflating a few different industries, but you'll get where I'm going with this. Thirdly, we are in a prime position because we are in Europe. And we're for all the benefits of that, right? So we're in Europe, but we're also right beside Britain. And there's lots of other things that are advantageous to us. As I say, the corporation tax is not anything we can rely on long term, but it doesn't mean there's going to be a mass exodus of people either. People thought Kamala was going to win the most popular because the media kept pushing her and bad-mouthing Trump. It didn't work this time, maybe the next time. No, Donald Trump takes on the media. He knows that he gets votes for taking on the media. He even turned on Fox News, who many would argue was the Trump supporter in the mainstream media. He turned on them and said they were platforming anti-Trumpers as well. That suits him. You know, it suits him. It worked the last time out. It's worked this time as well. Another caller, it's not hard to understand. People have been listening to facts shared, not on MSN. They're talking about inflation, national debt, undocumented immigrants, gang violence, politicisation of schools, courts, the FBI and the CIA, all the info's out there, and they think people are uneducated or ignorant, but in fact they are not, which I think is a very fair point as well. Great stuff, Greg. Glad you see that his immigration policy is important. We need the same here too. It's not racist. We need proper vetting. You're also correct on the fake news that Western media are spouting, all funded by the same people. Good questions. Thanks. It's pretty obvious. It's not something we've changed over the course of the election. You know, in terms of platforming conversations about immigration, respectful but honest platforms about immigration, we've done that right from the get-go. And we'll continue to do so because it's easier to be fair and give people their views than it is to try and push one particular agenda or another. Was Barack Obama not black? Can't say Kamala didn't get voted in because she was black. Yeah, but she was a black woman, and I think that's what the caller was saying. Morning, Greg. I was concerned that Trump would get in because of the tax breaks for overtime, tips, etc., which is big in low-paying jobs, and unfortunately in the US, the lower-paying jobs are filled with South Americans, African Americans and non-white Americans. I think this helped Trump. It helped his cause to a certain degree. But saying all this, in my opinion, it's a worrying time for the whole globe with that man in charge. I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is that the last 3 or 4 years, I found it hard to watch the news with what's going on, what's been allowed to go on. Like, you can talk about him maybe saying that Netanyahu can finish the job, but would it have got to where it's at now with Trump in power? I don't know. Would the Ukrainian war have started? You know, there's hundreds of thousands of young men, Russians and Ukrainians, that are perished. Would that have started if Trump was in power? I don't know the answer to that question. But all I can look at is what's happened to this world over the last 3 or 4 years when Joe Biden was in power. So, as I say, I don't know the answer and I don't really know what my opinion is, but this fear that the globe's in for it now because he's in charge, well, I've really been very concerned about the future for my children in this world with the way things have been going of late. You know, we don't talk much in this part of the world about, say, for instance, you know, the North Korean situation or the alliance between the likes of the North Koreans, Russia, India, Pakistan and so on. Or, for instance, the very tense situation in China and Taiwan as well. These types of things are ongoing and have been going and getting worse for the last 3 or 4 years for whatever reason. Good morning, Greg. Why do you think phones today don't let you take out the battery anymore? All major phone companies change all the same time. It's not for waterproofing. It's so they can listen at all times. It was about money. They would be selling replacement batteries when your phone's off or in flight mode. They can't still listen in. We're living in a police state, says a listener. Morning, Greg. I'm literally sitting in my kitchen looking at my Show Me smart air fryer, and they've corrected me on the pronunciation. Well, you have to whisper around your air fryer now, it seems. Right, okay. Just a couple more before the break. Why is all RTE news teams out in America, including RTE Morning Ireland, were paying for their biased, one-sided reporting? Don't know. Didn't watch it. Didn't listen. Haven't a clue. I couldn't tell you who's out there, if the truth be told. Right. But why are they out there? Well, I haven't a clue. That's the truth. Right, Tommy, good morning to you.
Greg, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Tommy. Right, your reaction to the overnight news, Donald Trump, the 47th president of the United States of America.
I suppose a quiet Trump supporter, I'm pretty delighted, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time now for America. You know, I suppose the way it was presented, I kind of felt, I wasn't sure what way it was going to go. But yeah, I got a text from my dad there this morning about 7 o'clock, so I just got up to see the news. So yeah, excited to see what he can do now, and hopefully he can deliver on the promises that he did promise the American people.
Yeah, and why would you frame yourself as a quiet Trump supporter? Is it because it's unpopular to be a Trump supporter, or just you're not that passionate about it that you're screaming it from the rooftops?
No, like, I would be passionate about it, but I feel you get a lot of backlash for your views, and I suppose I've learned to kind of keep my sort of political beliefs to myself a little bit more. Here's me on the radio now, though.
No, I get you. But what you're saying is that by simply saying that you are a Trump supporter, people might draw conclusions about everything that you think.
Well, it's similar. Like, you know, like say, for example, you know, maybe earlier this year, I had maybe said something online, say, actually, it would have been the exact same thing what Trump would have said during his election, that I think Ireland should have, you know, strong borders and pro-immigration, but done illegally. You know, people would attack me, you know, online for calling me far-right and fascist for saying such a thing, which I think isn't any of the above. I think it's quite reasonable, you know.
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from. What about Donald Trump's treatment in the media?
Similar as well, but it's like, you know, if you watch CNN and then you flick over and watch Fox, it's like you're watching two completely different things. And I think that's why, you know, Trump is so disliked in Ireland. I do feel Ireland feeds off the like of CNN quite a lot. You know, I can't remember the last time I seen a positive story about Trump and the Irish media.
Do you think Donald Trump's far right?
No, I don't think he is, but I'm just saying people will say that.
No, yeah, I'm asking. No, sorry, that's separate to your statement. This is more just a next question type of thing, Tommy. I mean, like,
yeah,
I don't really engage in the far left, far right kind of stuff. What people need to do, right, is have a look at all of the issues in the world. And make your position, take your position on each. Like, I don't think because I'm going to use two things. Don't want to offend anyone, right? I don't think because that you want tighter immigration, right, that your default position is that you're anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
right. That, I'm not saying I don't see those two things connected, but...
If you said you were
anti uncontrolled immigration, the presumption is that you're far right, and then people might be able to then guess from there your views on other matters. That can be the case, but I just think really what people need to understand is you can have different views on a variety of matters, and no candidate's going to talk to everything that you want, right? But you have to pick a horse in a race.
And I think that's kind of the way things have got politically so divisive, like, you know, that people cannot see the common ground anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I did see some of Trump's speech, you know, a sort of victory speech, if you like. I know he's not fully confirmed yet, but, like, he spoke about healing. And, you know, yeah, Irish people will probably laugh at that, but, like, I would be quietly optimistic. You know, if you think about it, he's got RFK Jr. from the Democrats over on his side. Joe Rogan used to be a Democrat. Elon Musk used to be a Democrat. They're all now supporting Trump. You know, is that not maybe a sign of healing? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. And in fairness, and it might not be widely reported, he said that success over the next 4 years will bring everybody together. Relation to, though, the media side of things, right? And I can understand, and I have a distrust of mainstream media myself as I sit here talking on it, some would argue.
Yeah, because I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Greg, just about how Trump has been portrayed in the media, like.
But my problem is that the not problem. My observation is the default, the opposite of that is online, and unfortunately under like I want a mixture of stuff, but unfortunately under X, he's used that platform really. It's lost. I remember a time. Sorry, Tommy, I'm going off on one here, right?
But
the terrible events that happened in Valencia, the first place I would have gone would have been to Twitter. Or as it was then, X, right? Because I felt that it was on the ground, unfiltered news, and it was a news source, and I could choose who I trusted and who I didn't trust. Now, unfortunately, every post that I see on X is biased. Now, it's biased in a Trump-leaning fashion or what have you.
Yeah.
So if it's not the mainstream media, and now I don't feel I can get some balance from X, it kind of worries me where information's coming from in the future that I feel I can trust and speaks to me in the middle.
The same with myself. But even on X for myself, like even people I follow might have a bit more extreme views or whatever. But at the same time, like I think I've learned to be very cautious as far as, right, well, he's saying this, you know, can you get another source from it? Do you know what I mean? You really have to actually be your own kind of, do your own kind of journalism, if you like. As far as, you know, CNN saying one thing, Fox is saying another, and you're hearing another on X. Do you know what I mean? You're kind of hearing, you know, loads of different stories. So you have to try and, like I think you said earlier, usually the truth's somewhere there in the middle, you know?
What does your dad want for America? Well, maybe if it's not an unfair question, I know you've referenced your dad being a Trump supporter, but if you don't want to speak on his behalf, that's all right. But what does what do you think he wants for America under Donald Trump?
My dad owns a business in New York, like, and he went over there as an immigrant as well, like, you know, So here you've got, some people say the turkey's voting for Christmas, maybe, like, but, you know, it's not the case, essentially, like, because at the end of the day, he says, you know, 4 years ago, his gas was $2 gas. His business was a lot cheaper to run. You know, his business, it's tighter to run week by week. Financially, it's in the pocket for him primarily, you know, why he's sort of pro-Trump.
Mm. All right, okay, and that's, these are the things why people vote. That's the point I try and make on this program quite a lot. It's not the big things that you can't get your head around. It's the simple things. It's about having
More people can relate to exactly.
All right, listen, Tommy. Thank you for that. That's Tommy's views there. Keep your views coming into us, of course. Not be very happy when Trump takes the factories out of Ireland. I'm not sure that's going to happen. You couldn't get Trump supporters on before his win because they are cowards who don't want to say what they really believe until it's time to rub it in, says the listener. Greg, you appear left-wing to the clueless right-wing because you talk sense and decency. If anyone does that, they're lefties. The right-wing should engage their brains, not their prejudice, if their brains work. A Father Ted moment, I hear you're a lefty. Sorry, a Father Ted moment, I hear you're a lahi lefty now, Greg. Maybe that could stick, a lahi lefty. The election was always loaded in Trump's favour. Kamala was a late runner in the race for president and so didn't have the same amount of campaign time as her rival to get her message across to voters. I think she could have the next 4 years and if she kept with the same messaging, I can't see how she would do any better, to be honest with you. This guy that was on earlier on, for his information, we're essentially funding the war in Palestine and Ukraine. Ireland should get a grip. For your information, there's only two genders, man and woman, full stop. Thank you for that. What about all the jobs, as Trump promised to bring all the American companies back to America? Where does that leave Ireland, asks a listener. Right, Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
I think you've picked up on a little bit of an irony in Tommy's comments.
I have, Greg. Like, my daughter got married at the weekend, and we had American visitors over to stay who are gone home today terrified of what is going to happen to their country. They've got kids in the military that are going to go to war now. They're going to be sent back to war again, you know. But the biggest thing is the undocumented Irish. You know, what happens now, because Trump did say in the last thing he did as president before was that he would deport the undocumented Irish.
And J.D. Vance has been, in fairness, he has been quite derogatory in the impact he believed the Irish had on in America, that they brought violence, they brought crime, and they brought division in communities, which are comments from J.D. Vance, which have been broadly overlooked, it seems.
Yeah, does Tommy not see that? Like, he's saying that his father is an immigrant into America, and he's probably now a citizen. He probably either married somebody in America or got a green card. My father was the opposite. My father came back to Ireland back in the 50s when the Korean War started, lived his whole life here, owned his own business. He passed away over a year ago, but he was a very much neither Democratic or Republican, but he just thought that Trump was absolutely destroying America.
Many immigrants or those who are born from immigrants voted for Donald Trump, though. He did really, really well in the African-American communities. It turned out to do okay with Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Latinos, etc. Even though if you have a history of immigration, or indeed that was of a time, people, do you not think that his message of we can't have unfettered immigration resonates even with people who were immigrants themselves?
I don't get that in this country either, Greg. I don't understand what that even means. Like, do we vet every Irishman in this country? Like, you know, I know they keep saying, yeah, unvetted. But a lot of the unvetted or undocumented Irish in America have lived there for upwards of 20, 30 years.
No, I've never been vetted. I've never been vetted. I never saw the point of that language, but I do understand why it's used. It's to scare people and it's to motivate people, and it does work. And Donald Trump's employed that as well. But that being said, the Democrats have said some stuff too, which is demonstrably untrue.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, Greg, those Americans were not fond of Harris either. They were saying she was not a good choice.
Right.
To be a running, but because of the late running of the presidential thing that happened with Biden, she was the candidate. But she was probably the better of the two options. And when you brought up earlier about abortion, you know, I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice, which is because it's my choice. I make my choices. Mm. But they were saying, like, he did say the other day in a newscast that women that have abortions will be punished.
If it's done illegally, though, could you not argue that Trump is pro-life, but pro-choice, in that he wants to limit abortions, but leave it up to the states themselves to decide?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't like his, you know, because he's also terming abortions in women that have them because they're ill. He reckons that's still abortion, like that if they choose to terminate a pregnancy because the pregnancy is not viable, it's still classed as an abortion.
All right.
I just don't know. I can't say that I think this next 4 years will be easy. I think we're going into a war situation.
But Linda, have you not been worried, though, you know, as the Ukraine war started and then the trouble flaring in the Middle East, you know, it seemed to be increased hostility between the Americans and the Chinese. Like, over the last 3 or 4 years, have you not felt, like I've felt, that the world seems to be going downhill very, very fast under, you know, a Democratic stroke Biden administration? Like, what could happen worse than seemingly is happening right now?
100%. Everybody's worried. But I just think that Trump won't change that. I think he'll actually make it worse. I think he's very much money-orientated. He is going to side with the country that will benefit him the most.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that take us? You know, he's very much on the side. And where the oil is, he wants where the oil's coming from, and he's going to...
That being said, Linda, they have the biggest oil reserves in the world, and he wants to dig it up and he wants to pump it out and he wants to elevate America to the superpower because of the oil. But listen, I take your point and I loved speaking to you. Thank you so much, Linda. Keep your calls coming through to us. Real serious thinking people don't just listen to or follow one group only. You have to read everything. You have to dig into stories and get all the facts. We only ever hear the tip of the iceberg in the media. What they want you to hear, react to, is the majority of issues that affect all people are done behind closed doors in the hope that people will never find out until it's too late. Everyone follows the election in America. After all, it's the election of the most important man and woman in the world. But we have such a crisis at home and a very important election coming. We have a hospital that costs 4 times what they said it would cost. We've spent ridiculous money on bike sheds. I could go on about several other issues. And what I would implore you guys to do out there today, because that listener's quite right, we have a very important election coming up here over the next 3 weeks. It's going to be announced later this week, most likely to be on the 29th of November. And I want a real live and vibrant conversation amongst ourselves in the lead up to the election. You know, everyone who comes on this programme will be treated respectfully. So it doesn't matter who you support. You know, get your calls in. All we want is, of course, that everyone is doesn't say anything to get us into trouble and it's, you know, based on policy and not necessarily personality. But it would be fantastic, like a beautiful, vibrant conversation we're having today of all different views. I would love us to continue that as we focus on a very important election for ourselves over the next 3 weeks. And maybe that could, you know, invigor people who may not be inclined to vote. And it's all in our hands. So our lines will be open over the next 3 weeks. And we want the same passion and vigor and variation of voices over the next 3 weeks as we head towards GE25. What a kick in the arse the election results in the US is for the liberal progressive media and woke brigade. In the real world, the main concerns are not abortion and LGBT rights, but the basic needs of can I buy groceries, can I pay the rent, can I afford to fill my car with petrol? Let that be a lesson learned for the biased Irish media, including Highland Radio. The worm has turned. Now watch out for shocks in the forthcoming Dáil election. I am not getting defensive, right? But you talk about what's important. Every day on this program, we talk about what's important to Donegal. We don't talk about what's important to Carlow, what's important to South Dublin. We talk about what's important to Donegal. And it's not just the county as a whole, it's the local communities. But people, this is the problem, you see. If you believe that all the media is the same, you're blinded, you can't hear. Like yesterday, for an example, yesterday we spent an hour talking about a thing that's very important to the people of Buncrana. And that is the fact that they missed out on funding for their leisure centre. We talked about that for an hour, a real issue, something that may decide how people vote. We've given over countless hours to defective concrete blocks. We've given over countless hours to the health system. We've given over countless hours to covering the crisis in the care for carers, home help packages, CDNT, supports for schools. We did an hour last week, RTE out there this morning. We did an hour 2 weeks ago about the school in Milford and their attempts. So listen, I'll take criticism where criticism comes. But if you think that we don't talk about the real issues that affect people on this program, I think you mustn't listen to the program and have just texted in right now to make a broader point. I don't mind you grouping us in with the MSM or however you want to describe it, but I know in my heart that that's not how we put this program together. To the lady who automatically labelled people far right, can't understand why people voted for Trump, then maybe she should listen to other people or read a bit more about how other people feel and think, because she sounds a very angry person, racist towards whites and Christians, which again, though, you see, the problem is, and this is where I really appreciate you texting, right? But we need, in terms of debates, I would hope we could move away from a text. Like, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. And it starts off giving out about a lady labelling people far right and criticising her for that. And then finishes off with calling another person racist. I mean, you know, we can make our points without the labels, I think. You're so uneducated on world affairs, are you not embarrassed, says a listener. Give us a text, tell us, give us a call, tell us why. I'd appreciate the education. The US voted because of the cost of living, but in Ireland, will that happen? We've one of the biggest costs of living crises in Europe, homelessness and housing crisis. The exit poll, and this is the reliable exit poll, people cared about the economy. They didn't care as much about migration. You see, people try and bring migration up because it is quite an emotive subject. But migration has been a very important topic on people's minds here. But the economy, a cost of living, trumps that. No pun intended. Democratic Party has moved way too far to the left, ignoring the concerns of ordinary people. That result was always coming. I agree with you. I thought the messaging was very, very left-leaning. And if you're anyway centrist or right-leaning, it felt like, but also it went so far that it maybe questioned people's position as a Democratic supporter. And that's why a lot of young fellas, particularly who would traditionally vote Democrats, voted Trump. Trump was one of only two presidents who didn't go to war with anyone. Only 2 years under Biden and the world is closer to World War III than it's ever been. The world is a safer place with Trump in the White House, says a listener. If we are part of Europe, why are cars far more expensive here in Ireland than Europe and other things? And can Donald Trump pardon himself now that he's president, asks a listener. Okay, so as you know, we covered extensively the news yesterday that the Leisure Centre in Buncrana missed out on sports funding. It had been widely hoped, if not expected, that it would be successful. It turns out that not to be the case. I presume Councillor Jack Murray, the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, people's emotions haven't tempered. People still very moved by this decision.
Yeah, not in the slightest. People are very, very angry. Feel very aggrieved still that the Leisure Centre was denied funding in this latest call of the Large Scale Sport Infrastructure Fund, something we had fully anticipated. A fund that was perfectly set out for this after 10 years of waiting. So people are very angry. So we've called now as a community a public meeting to take place this Tuesday, the 12th of November at 8 o'clock in Crana College. It'll be supported by numerous sports groups, community groups, or be teachers and school principals from a number of the schools in the organisation, and we try and forge a way forward to get this, which is an awful decision, reversed or reviewed, much in the same vein as what happened 7 years ago when the community rallied together when we were told that we wouldn't get funding for Swan Park. And hopefully we can take this campaign to the same successful conclusion as we did back then.
It's being described as a non-politically aligned, community-led forum for people to have their says, I mean, with that in mind, obviously, are politicians being invited?
They are. Everybody in that's been done of this morning. And I would hope now, this is an issue, obviously, there's no political party would claim this. This is an issue for the community, not just even for the town of Buncrana, but for every corner of Inishowen, from Malinhead, Carndonagh, and the whole way down. So I would hope that all political reps would attend. And just like as we did, as I say, back 7 years ago in Swan Park, a meeting was pulled together, and we all did. We all put on, to say, the Inishowen jersey and fought together and brought that to successful conclusion. So hopefully we can do the same again for the communities that we all represent.
Obviously there's been a big public backlash to this announcement, to this decision. Actually, in fairness to the ATU, they've another 6.2 million allocated to them today, which is great. That's what must be over 10 million they've had in the last couple of days. But anyway, by the by, have you heard anything to indicate that there are any moves on to have a look at this decision?
No, there's been no messages of encouragement or responses yet from the department, and they're trying to say that the book is closed and there'll be no review. I don't accept that. I think if there's enough political will, if we all come together, we can take this over the line. And again, the Swan Park, we were told at that point, we met numerous civil servants at the time, and they had all said that there was no fund available. Every department, there was nothing that would cover flood damage to play parks. We rallied together. We didn't accept that. And a fund was found. So I think now that we're 4 weeks from a general election, there's going to be a lot of promises made. There'll be a lot of political pressure put on everybody. I think if we all rally together, and that this will be a very well-attended meeting, I would have fully expected. When all our football clubs, our schools, our community organisations, and on a cross-party basis, all our elected representatives rally together, I think we can create enough force and enough momentum that we can deliver this leisure centre once and for all.
Okay, we'll see. Just to recap, which is the purpose of the conversation. The meeting is on Tuesday, the 12th of November at 8 p.m. in Craddock College, a community-led, non-politically aligned meeting. Thanks for that, Councillor Jack Murray. We'll be joined by another guest on the show after this short break. Claire Louise McDevitt is with me on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to speak to you. Now, you're searching, and we hope we can help, for a music therapist or an SNA who is musical, for some one-on-one with your son, Rory. So talk to me about why this is important and what have you.
Yes. So I suppose going back, Rory's 8 years old, and over the last few years, he's been fortunate enough to avail of music therapy as a multidisciplinary approach when he's in hospital as part of, you know, the treatment that goes on in there. So when he goes in there, it's always one of the things that's given to him, especially in a long stay in Crumlin Hospital. And he's been able to avail of music therapy through the Laurelin Hospice Services. But when we're at home, the only thing that really is available to him is maybe virtual sessions, which we're finding at the moment maybe aren't as effective as they could be. And as you know, Greg, music speaks to us in so many ways that we possibly couldn't. And, you know, you're always looking at alternative therapies, alternative ways to outside of the medical realm. And, you know, so for us, we feel that music therapy is always very good for him, and it's very hard to find. There's a big gap here in Donegal where we don't have music therapists available. You may find some maybe Galway or into the north, but really in Donegal there's very few available. So what we've kind of came to the conclusion is maybe we need to find someone that might just fit Rory's needs. So we might fit, you know, so we're looking for someone that might have experience working with children or people with additional needs. So that's why we had kind of suggested the childcare or the SNA role, that they have experience with that end of things. And then is very proficient musician, you know, we're looking for someone who can play a multitude of instruments, guitar or piano, or and he's fed up with me singing at him, you know. So
when you talk about the availability of music therapists down the country, Claire, is that privately or provided through the HSC or what?
It's private. Okay. So it would be lovely. It would be lovely to see music therapy rolled out as part of the alternative methods and therapies along, you know, in our disability sector. It would be brilliant to see that, because like that in the hospital, it is provided by the HSC as an alternative therapy for kids that are in hospital long term, who are going through various treatments, surgeries and recovery. And it really aids recovery. It really does, and it soothes. And then I suppose for him at home, we're looking at ways that we can support him physically and emotionally through alternative methods.
You do everything you can. You do absolutely anything you can. Yeah. You've seen the benefits for Rory down the country, and you want to be able to provide that here. And also to, I can understand it might be preferable in the home, because obviously then bringing Rory to new environments might be detrimental as well and take away the positives of it. So really, is it someone involved in childcare, maybe an SNA that has an hour a week, can visit the Gwydor area and is a musician? I mean, when you talk of music therapy, is it simply playing music and singing with Rory, or is there something, you know,
the therapy? Music is therapy in itself. Let's just face it. Music is therapeutic for any of us. For all of us, you know, we turn to music when we're maybe at our lowest or even at our happiest. We do. We turn to that to get emotional support. So for us, we find for him that it's the engagement through music. So someone sitting with him, playing with him, singing with him. We have a whole box full of shakers and tambourines and drums and ocean drums. And we want someone that, maybe, you know yourself, Greg, when as parents, they're fed up looking at us sometimes. So we could do it with him, but to some degree, he would get far more benefit from somebody else out there who's highly musical and talented and just wants to sit and engage in almost a play manner. So we know, and we're not putting anybody down that is a music therapist and saying that this qualification is, that's, we just know that it's not available to us right now. So if there is a music therapist out there that is like, oh my goodness, this is something I want, then absolutely come to us, reach out to us. We've had so many people contact us. We've had musicians. I put this post out on Facebook. You know, we've had people are saying, okay, I play this. Would I be suitable? So yes, we are engaging with a couple of people.
And I would say to you, being contacted by people that are saying, oh right, music therapy, how has this benefited Rory? Do you know other parents of people that, I just think really maybe you're also in exposing a gap that, you know, sometimes if something's not available in an area, mums and dads may not be aware of it. So are people sort of going, right, well, what do you mean by music therapy and how has it benefited Rory and how maybe might it benefit our young person?
And I find that we have a large community of parents of children with, you know, various additional needs, disabilities, physical, medical complexities, and we're all saying the same. This is what we need for our kids. You know, we want alternative therapies. So, and this, when I put up the post, no more like that, I had other parents going to me, this is what I need for my child. This is what I need. So there is a huge gap there. And we're just looking for someone that would be willing to come and engage with Rory and give him that joy that he gets through music, comfort and support him in ways that physically we can't, you know, and it does, it touches them on a different level.
And I'm not being in any way facetious, but it's like, right, mom's lighting the fire, mom's got a tambourine. Do you know what I mean? It's just with the best will in the world. Yeah. If someone else comes in and it's an event in and of itself, but in that comfortable environment, I can really see how it would you would benefit that. And is this how one of the better ways that Rory can express himself? If you know what I mean, like I'm not sure if that is demonstrably or in terms of, you know, it's a form of a language for him as well. Do you see that in his interactions with a music therapist?
Yeah, I mean, he loves music and we even find ourselves, you know, whenever we're having a really tough day or he's having a tough day, he asks for his music. He asks, he loves, like he's not shy to say what he wants in terms of what he wants to listen to. And I mean, we've listened to Frozen on repeat, repeat, repeat. And you know, if you don't know it, then, you know,
just let it go. I think you'd say sometimes, Mum. Yeah, I know.
But yeah, you know, so it does. And I find for him definitely helps comfort him and I suppose we're we're always learning from them.
And
you know, and when our other kids are frustrated and they're tired and they're stressed, we find other routes for them to get that out. So, you know, they can go to sports, they can go to dance, they can go to other things. Rory wouldn't have that accessibility to outside activities outside the home and outside of school. So we're, it's our job to make that path for him. Okay. It's our job to find these outlets for him. For and, sure. and, you know, and that's why we look at maybe hydrotherapy, and that's something else that's not available in Donegal, but it's something that, you know, we're trying to get him into the pool. We're trying to get him the musical support that he wants. And you never know, you through this music therapy, he might learn to play an instrument. We never know.
Exactly.
You know, it's and we're not effectively looking for a music teacher. We're just looking for someone who would get joy and out of engaging with him, and also you know, I suppose in terms of the SNA side of things, you know, the logic behind that is that the our experience of working with children with additional needs. So, you know, and I, the thing I keep saying to someone is, you know, as long as you don't take offence to the mood swings.
No, and I understand, because you would know that an SNA understands different children's needs. So it's not a, you're only looking for an hour a week, preferably in the Derrybeg area, every other week too. It's not a huge commitment. It is preferably someone with a background as an SNA who's musical, and that can go in and help Rory reach whatever his potential might be. And you're doing as everything you can as a family just to make sure he can achieve everything he's capable of achieving. All right, if we get any information on that, Claire Louise McDevitt, we'll of course pass it on to you. But for now, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Lots of love to Rory and the rest. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.